Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello there, and welcome to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. And soon, very soon, 2.5 weeks, there will be so much more saga to celebrate. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw, and here is always your other host.
I am your other host, the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica. You can follow me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. It's 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
The Force Awakens, and it's as if the movie's been out for 3 months, because we're getting so much bloody media coming out.
Yeah. So we're getting a lot more TV spots, and I have not watched any of them.
And neither have I.
Which to some people might be sacrilege, but to me, I looked deep into my soul, I meditated, and I feel like doing this show, we are half Star Wars reporters and half doing it as Star Wars fans. Mm-hmm. And for me, at 2.5 weeks out, I do not need to see any more footage.
And it's not as if there's not enough to talk about, which, when we get to the news segment, you know that there'll be plenty to talk about. It's... I don't know. As Obi-Wan once said, patience, use the Force, think. And he also said, this weapon is your life. But aside from that, we're so close. Why would you want to ruin anything?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, even like revelations about Starkiller Base or this or that. And he's like, no, stop. We got 2 weeks. Just turn on Battlefront, play it, and that'll be your Star Wars kick for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at stuff I didn't want to previously, and I feel like it really had value when we were farther out and there was like lots of room to speculate. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it feels like, yeah, like you're saying, have some patience. There's only 2.5 weeks.
Seriously.
Yeah, I liked your impression of Obi-Wan Kenobi. That is the
that
most.
That was not an impression at all. That was just me saying it.
It was an emotional impression. Okay. You weren't trying to do the voice, but to me, it was a perfect impression of Obi-Wan Kenobi as a substitute teacher.
Yeah. It's like, guys, patience.
Think, come on, be grown-ups. So this is a special episode for us. We are going to talk about a ton of news, just not the new clips from all of the commercials and wherever else. Quick side note, I think I told you this off air. I went to Disneyland.
Yes, you did.
And I got a spoiler from a child touching a Kylo Ren doll.
Yes. You didn't, and you didn't repeat the spoiler, bless your heart.
No, because I thought, like, how could I get any spoilers here at Disneyland? And there's a Kylo Ren doll, you touch a button and he says things, and I saw a kid reach up and, like, I could run away. I thought for a second, as an adult, I could push my way through the crowd and run. Like, come on. He's got several distinctive lines of dialogue already out there. Nope. Sure enough, Kylo Ren was like, by the way, Scrimshaw, here's a plot point.
Man, I'm sorry for that. Did you see the in the exhibit, there was kind of an explanation to how his lightsaber works?
Yes, and I was thrilled about that, actually.
Okay, so you don't consider that a spoiler?
Well, I think it is, but I like it when spoilers come from different weird little sources, because it brings some of the sort of romance and mystery that we used to have about media speculation.
Yeah.
Now it's sort of like something drops, it's calculated from Disney the way it drops, then every news outlet picks it up and it's all over your social media whether you want to see it or not. And there's not a romance to it. Like, you know, when I was a kid, you were on the playground and another kid would tell you that they saw in some, you know, shopping mall somewhere,
an exclusive action figure of,
yeah, this. So there's some things in the display that were like little bits of information. And to me, that it's fun because then it feels more like you're putting together a puzzle from all these sources. That bit of information is only if you go to Disneyland, you know? Mm-hmm. So I still don't want spoilers, but I like it more if it comes from a different source rather than just another internet info dump.
It's people handing you a puzzle piece, not showing you the box where you see it completed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So that was really fun. But we are going to talk some news, and because this is our 66th episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Order 66, one of, I think, the coolest things in the prequels.
Yeah.
And it also brings up a question that I like to think about a lot alone, and now I can think about it with my friends on the internet. Exactly how hard is it to kill a Jedi? Mm. And exactly how hard should it be? Is it too easy? We'll get into all that.
Too easy.
Yeah. It's too easy. Too easy after we talk about the news.
No, and yes, so let's get started with news from the Holonet. We'll just go then. So it was revealed that The Force Awakens is going to be rated PG-13.
Yeah.
Much to what we thought. Does the PG-13 mean that it's necessarily a darker film? Or has the Motion Picture Association of America just become a little bit more strict?
I think they've become more strict. I don't think it's an indication that it's going to be particularly brutal or even as brutal as Revenge of the Sith. But I think I just saw Mockingjay Part 2, mm-hmm. and that was PG-13. And, you know, no Mockingjay Part 2 spoilers, but it's basically sort of the same kind of sci-fi action violence, yeah. which is what I think got The Force Awakens. Whereas horrible things happen in terms of, oh, that character had a bad thing happen to them, they're monsters. I kind of feel like PG-13 is sort of like, be as violent as you want, as long as there's not blood.
Or there's also no language. There might yes. be one word or something.
Yeah. And I don't think there are going to be any swear words in The Force Awakens. That is my prediction. Certainly not in in basic, not in English.
No, we might get an icky goo, perhaps.
You're all just bantha fodder.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, bantha poodoo. Yes, poodoo. Much, much harsher word.
Just have
son
to be ready
of a
for it.
Bantha poodoo.
It's, yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing, like, mass decapitation.
Yeah.
Like, PG-13 for episode 3 had child killing and...
Yeah, and a major character, a really visceral thing happening to a major character. Of Anakin burning up. And I do still think that there's a possibility that a major character might go, or even a character that we've come to love over the course of just the 2 hours of that movie. And I think that should weight it, the rating,
yeah.
to, you know, the emotional effect of how harsh it's going to be. I was curious, kind of marketing-wise, if Disney really wanted to keep it to PG for, you know, all the ads have been so generational, we've talked about, where it's so like, bring your seven-year-old. And I was wondering if Disney cared at all about preserving the PG for that. So I actually reached out to a friend of mine, John Kovalik, who is behind, he's one of the co-creators of the game Apples to Apples, mm-hmm. and he's the main artist for the game Munchkin, and he's a good pal of mine. He's been talking a ton about bringing his daughter, who is 7 and has become really, really into Star Wars. So I reached out to him and asked him how he felt about it, and he's like, well, the only difference that it makes is I'm going to go to the movie first on opening night by myself, and then I'm going to take her the next morning. So he's basically giving himself like less than 24 hours to figure out like, how do I prepare my daughter for the scary parts?
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to re-prepare yourself for the moments that make you go, huh? Like seeing it with a mission the first time.
Yeah.
I wonder if that'll diminish his experience at all.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I hope not.
Yeah, I would hope not. I will say for John, and I asked him this question over email, and he sent me a lengthy response. And you can look up his cartoons.
We actually have his response. We're going to read it.
I've memorized it. You can look up some of his cartoons on dorktower.com. And he has been so approaching this generationally of his. It's exciting for him to see his daughter so excited about it. So he can't watch the movie through his own filter because he's so thinking about it from, like, I get to share this with my daughter.
Yeah. I think sci-fi action violence, definitely not going to be any blood. I think it's just going to be a lot of blaster fire and a lot of space battles.
Yes. Maybe some burning chest armor.
Maybe some burning chest armor. Maybe we see that plasma sword cut through a little bit more than just... set pieces.
Yes. All neatly cauterized, though.
Yes.
Sci-fi action cauterization violence.
Yeah, but you can't do that or else that's technically a spoiler. Sorry, everybody. Our next story, C-3PO has been added to the Waze traffic app. So if you don't know what Waze is, it's a alternate to Google Maps where it shows you traffic, it shows you police activity. So, hey, there's a cop on this thing. I mean, you shouldn't be on your phone anyway. No, who's on their phone on the highway?
Looking for cops. You're revealing a lot about how you drive.
When I heard that feature, I was like, dang, people are really keeping an eye out. Like, that's nice, but at the same time, it's still, get off your phone, just drive. If you worry about yourself and the cars around you, you'll be fine. But C-3PO Or at least the voice of C-3PO, Anthony Daniels, will be operating as your guide throughout the terrifying streets of the United States highway system. Do you think any other, or would you want any other character, or is there anybody who you think fits better?
Well, I think 3PO is probably the perfect choice because I feel like almost all existing voices that guide you through traffic are a little judgmental. And a little bit of a jerk, and I think 3PO's got that edge to him. And I read some articles about he has lots of fun things to say, or like he will criticize your home and things like that when you arrive home.
Kindly turn right.
Very 3PO. Yeah, exactly.
I downloaded it. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Did you just play 3PO, or was that you?
No. I downloaded the Waze app, and that's what he says a lot. He's like, kindly turn right here.
Okay, so he sounds like most other driving application.
Weird. I'll take it.
I would be thrilled to have R2 because, you know, he is actually supposed to be guiding you, and it would be fun to be getting actual directions and just have no idea what they are.
It's like, beep, beep, beep. Right.
No, there'd be no English words. It would just be R2 squealing, and you could pretend like you're Luke or Anakin, and you're getting good directions from R2.
And pretend you know what he's saying just for your own sanity's sake.
Yeah. Of course, Palpatine. Always Palpatine.
Turn right here, you fool.
Do it. He could say do it after every direction. Yeah.
Veer slightly to the left. Do it.
But the best, I know you asked for one, Mark, but I'm giving you...
It's fine.
My personal favorite would be Lando, because he always sounds cool and confident, and if he made a mistake, he could just yell, it's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault. That would be good. I just, again, I'm a broken record when it comes to suggesting Star Wars characters. Captain Rex from the cockpit. That model droid who rumoredly was Paul Reubens.
He's
uncredited as Paul Reubens, but sounds pretty accurate. If it's not him, they got a really good sound alike. So I would say that, like, any sort of a pilot droid. I forgot the actual characterization because they showed up on Rebels recently.
Okay.
But that's who I would want. 3PO, I think, is the next best choice. So
excellent.
Palpatine, too good.
So, yeah.
Google has rolled out a whole mess of Star Wars, including having Arabesh in Google Translate. You can choose a light side or a dark side theme. Have you done that yet?
I did.
Okay, which side did you choose?
I chose dark side because that's how I feel about Google. Like, as a person, I wanted to choose light side, but it just felt right for Google to choose the dark side.
Fair enough. With that, it changes the theme of your Gmail account, if you have one. And for YouTube, it adds the properly colored lightsaber to the video buffering bar, as well as the volume load-up is a lightsaber turning on and off, which can get annoying sometimes, depending on where you watch videos. And, of course, the credits crawl. If you haven't heard about this, do yourself a favor. Open up a new tab and type into Google, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And you get the results, which are, hey, type in a long, long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away into Google. And he's doing it right now. You get the results in the credit scroll with the music. Hopefully the, let's see if, it's because you did it into the
Yeah, you have to do it just right, or it just loads an article telling you what you should be seeing, which is really annoying.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You got the wrong thing. Sorry, our engineer is doing it on the computer screen right now, but how much productivity do you think? I mean, already we're losing time in the episode. How much productivity do you think will be lost taking advantage of these special features?
Oh, I think a lot. I decided to waste a little bit of time this morning just experimenting. There we go. It's up on the screen. And indeed, it looks exactly like what you would expect it to look like. What I always like doing with Google Translate is putting things back and forth between different languages until I can get it to be really screwed up. And with Orbesh, it was actually hard. I had to like translate English to Orbesh and then use Orbesh and translate it to like Japanese and German and back and forth a bunch.
Wow.
To get it to actually screw up. And I put in the English phrase of the, I've got a bad feeling about this. And I had to really work hard to mess it up. Normally you can mess it up pretty quickly, but eventually, after getting it through, like, you know, German, Japanese, I think I did Swahili, I ended up getting a Orbesh translation that says, I have bad feeling on it. So I was very happy for that.
Well, I figure it's a lot harder for Orbesh because that's something that's said so commonly in that world that they would just become an expression.
Yeah, like that's on every piece of equipment everywhere. Like that's that was on the equipment that Obi-Wan was playing with in the Death Star, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have a bad feeling about this. The lightsaber buffering is really funny to me. I really love the sort of Star Wars trappings, the things that are like they're really fun as fans because like, oh, you can just be immersed. It's everywhere. You know, it's hard to not use any Google products, but they're funny because they also take away the magic. When, like, I watched a YouTube video this morning and the lightsaber had to buffer. And, like, the lightsaber got a little smaller and then a little bigger again. Like, kind of takes the magic away.
I can see that.
But in a funny way.
Giving a sound effect to the volume button, I would have to, like, adjust the volume and then rewind a video because I missed something because the sound was going a little bit too loud. So it's cool to a point. I'm excited to hear about when those features will go away or how to disable them. I also just randomly I installed a Star Wars spoiler warning app onto my Chrome browser.
Oh yeah.
And on almost every page I load up, because Star Wars is everywhere, I get, hey, do you want to proceed? There might be spoilers on this page.
Yeah, how do they filter that at this point? Do you know if they're just filtering out The Force Awakens with the word new, or?
I think anything with Star or Wars.
Wow, so that's most of the internet, yep. Right? So, like, you can't look at, like, eBay, right?
I mean, no, eBay, Neil deGrasse Tyson's Twitter page, anything, really. You know, the most popular spots. I turn it off from time to time.
Understandably,
but if I know
so.
That I'm, especially if I know I'm looking up news for the show, like, I can't.
Well, of course not.
I'll never be able to see anything. But, it was, it's nice to see people take a little extra. Let's have some fun with Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it's always been about.
Yeah, and I think this is a great kind of marketing that just it's immersive. You almost literally can't escape it.
No.
And it gets you excited to just actually see the movie and be truly immersed in the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Next story, Battlefront's Battle of Jakku DLC comes out tomorrow and got detailed recently. Last week, of course, was our big Battlefront blowout episode. Go back and watch it. We had John Rocha and Bruce Green from Funhouse in a massive show and a lot of... A lot of heavy discussion, and it was super fun. So for all of you playing Battlefront, we want to play with you. I actually just set up a Jedi Alliance PlayStation Network account. If you're on PlayStation, it's going to be Jedi Alliance Pod. Add it so that we can play the Battle of Jakku together.
Awesome.
But the main part of the story is they've added a new mode and two new maps from Jakku. The first map called the Gozan or the Gowazan Badlands, which has most of the modes available. And then Graveyard of Giants is what's used for the bigger modes, the Fighter Assault, the Walker Assault, Supremacy, and then Turning Point. Real quick details about that. It's a 40-player mode where the Rebels need to capture certain points and advance the Empire at this point back, and it's supposed to be a new capture point based mode. They also announced that there's going to be more free DLC. Do you want it to be Force Awakens related or Classic Trilogy related?
I would like the Force Awakens because I've played through a lot of Classic Trilogy scenarios over the years in video games, as we talked about last week, and I would love to play more of the Force Awakens stuff.
I figure it's going to be stuff from maybe Act 2 and 3 that they're just waiting to spoil, so to speak.
Well, do you think that's what they're going to give away for free, or do you think...
I do. Okay. I really do.
Do you feel like they're just bowing to demand for more content on Battlefront, or do you feel like this was always planned, or do you feel like this is a reaction to some of the critique that there's not enough content for the base game?
I think it was always planned. I think the Force Awakens stuff will get people who haven't bought the game yet into the game, especially Jakku's is the planet that we've been seeing in theme park rides, all media, and...
Yes, just in your friend's eyes,
everywhere.
You see Jakku.
Seriously, just in the reflection of their eye. And we've seen several other planets on here, and including other forest planets, other ice planets. I think, if anything, we're going to see stuff... you're going to be able to play as the First Order or as the Alliance, the Rebel Alliance, the Resistance. Too many similar words as the Resistance. I think it's always been the plan to get the people who are swayed by the movie as opposed to just, hey, let's see what other planet we could pull out.
Yeah, yeah. So you're more excited for The Force Awakens as well, or do you want to see more classic trilogy stuff?
I don't know what more classic trilogy stuff we can get other than like the Death Star runs or anything else or stuff on the Death Star. So that would be cool, but I'm having a lot of fun on Sullust just because we haven't really seen it too much. So, new is better. Even though Jakku is more desert stuff like Tatooine, or similar to Tatooine, it's going to be new, it's going to be different, and there's going to be all of the feels from Lost Stars.
Awesome. Yeah, because in theory, it's the actual battle of Jakku, so it is kind of in a little bit more classic trilogy era, but feels more like The Force Awakens because it's so connected.
Because it's Jakku. Right. Like, you're going to see the stuff that takes place in there, you're going to see Rey going through in The Force Awakens.
Cool, so yeah. You can create the garbage that the character will rummage through.
I blew up that Star Destroyer. Or that TIE fighter went down right next to me in the battlefield. One of our last stories, Star Wars. The Star Wars channel is coming back to Sky Movies in the UK. So for all of our UK listeners, there's going to be a channel, or the return of the just Star Wars channel. Excuse me, that's going to play all of the Star Wars movies, 1 through 6. And there's a really awesome promo trailer that they made for it that I wish we could show, but we're not going to, unfortunately. But we're not getting something like that. I mean, Sky is strictly a UK channel, but how often would you turn into a Star Wars dedicated channel?
Oh, like just, I would maybe have it on in the background.
Yeah, like that would just be the one, that would be the reason to buy cable, would just be for that Star Wars channel.
Yeah, well, I already have cable, so if there was just a Star Wars channel playing in the background, I might turn it on. Another form of procrastination. Yeah.
Nailed it. Is there any other Star Wars content that you would want to fill other than the 6 movies, or do you think the 6 movies can just handle it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love to have Clone Wars on there, because I think it'd be interesting to have a channel that's, this is all the on-screen canon stuff going again and again, and I feel like when we get into kind of discussions of canon, it's easy to forget that Clone Wars opened lots of little doors by still being canon to things that used to be just legends, or we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, Corban, Morban, things that are kind of adopted from legends, but a different kind of canon. Clone Wars adds so much of that, and it would be fun to just be able to turn it on and hit a random episode of Clone Wars and be reminded, oh yeah, that was touched on in Clone Wars. Oh, yeah, that character was touched on in Clone Wars.
I agree. And of course, Rebels, maybe behind-the-scenes content. I figure, if anything, Disney would be the company to make a just Star Wars channel, and I'd be super down to watch it. One last story. We don't have a graphic for it because it was announced today, but Star Wars Rebels was picked up for season 3, and this season so far has been super interesting.
Yeah.
And added a lot more, even like as you mentioned with Clone Wars, a lot more to that period in between episodes 3 and 4, and having remnants from the Clone Wars series come in and just confirm how important that canon was.
Yeah,
makes it even stronger of a show.
Yeah, I'm really psyched that it is slowly turning into this was secretly a continuation of the Clone Wars. That we're going to finish the stories that we didn't have time to finish and wrap up with all those characters, I think is great. While also still being like really, really, really original trilogy fan service.
Yes.
With the amount of just sounds and sights that are totally classic trilogy stuff.
And I will talk more about that when we get to our main discussion, because there's a lot of stuff in Rebels that scratches some of these itches that we're going to be talking about. But that'll do it for this week's news from the Holonet.
Yeah. No surprise that it was brought back for season 3.
No, not whatsoever. No.
So we're going to get into our main topic of the day, which is Order 66. How hard is it to kill a Jedi? Poor Aayla Secura, for those of you watching on YouTube, putting up on the screen, surrounded by clones and about to have a horrible, horrible demise. Probably the worst demise in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, that hers was probably the most like, oh God.
Yeah, well, why? And just the continued shooting. The continued shooting. So, Mark, I wanted to ask you, we talked about this a little bit when we did our Revenge of the Sith watch-along. When you first saw Revenge of the Sith in the theaters, how did you feel about Order 66?
Well,
like actually just the plot point of it.
So in the theater, it was different because it was one of the weirdest movie going experiences that I had ever had. And we were getting near the end of the movie and it was a really late screening of me watching it. So personally, I was just like, let it end. But when I took everything into account, it's something that you knew in the back of your head. There's no Jedi left. Like in 4, right. 5, and 6, there's two Jedi left. I mean, and then that sort of got up to a wider margin. But something's got to happen.
Yeah. So,
and to see how quick the clone troopers turned, it made you think, is it a chip in their brain? Is it what – was it programmed or was it just something that – was in the plan in the works all along, which of course it was, but how much subterfuge was there?
Yeah.
And how terrible this event was across the galaxy.
Yeah. So I mean, when I first saw it was not a thing in the back of my mind. It was like one of the forefront things of my mind in the year 2005. Like George has to find a way to get rid of lots and lots of Jedi.
Yeah.
Because I had kind of sensed up to that point in the prequels of like, well, obviously we're fudging lots of details from the classic trilogy, and I don't think this movie is going to have time to show us Vader suiting up and literally hunting down a lot of Jedi. So for me, going into the movie, it was like, well, either it's going to be kind of a hand-wavy thing of like, yeah, and then once he was Vader, he tracked a bunch of people down, or there's got to be some cataclysm, something mm-hmm. has to happen. And I have always really liked it. It is one of the things that I haven't heard people complain about as much with all the complaints that people have with the prequels. It's one of my favorite things in the prequels, and I don't hear people complain about it as much because I think it is one of the more brutal things that we've ever seen in Star Wars, of just kind of how, you know, insidious it is, and then just the actual horror of it.
It's straight up execution,
and I think even for people who are super down on the prequels, one of the really cool things about it was just seeing all those Jedi and seeing, you know, just getting to know that guy in the background. Oh, that's Ki-Adi-Mundi, and oh, I got his action figure, and he originally came with a purple lightsaber. So you started to build up relationships with these mm-hmm. characters, even if it was just your own headcanon that you were filling in, and then to just watch them all be wiped out. And I also think just kind of plot-wise, it finished the plot of Attack of the Clones, of the introduction of these clones, mm-hmm. and gave them a lot more weight. I also was just kind of happy, like, the second I heard it. I think there's a thing in kind of uber-geek world where we get attached to numbers. Like, everybody loves 42 from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, mm-hmm. and as soon as I heard this, like, that's another geek number. That's going to be like, now every time I hear 66, this is what I'm going to think of. And it is exactly what I thought of when we came to do our 66 episode. Like, we can't not talk about Order 66.
For no reason whatsoever, it blew my mind. Because last week, and like, you know, next episode's Order 66, or is episode 66. And you went, so I figured we should talk about Order 66. And I just went, obviously, how did that just never, like, click in my brain? Of course we're going to talk about Order 66. What a perfect idea. It's I agree, it is one of those new numbers.
Yeah.
It is a new nerd number.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's well executed in terms of just emotionally too, with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Commander Cody, and that relationship only gets more fleshed out when you watch Clone Wars, when he very helpfully hands him back the lightsaber and then immediately after that shoots him off the wall. So were you upset that you didn't get to see Vader hunting more Jedi as a part of the kind of idea of Order 66, of the Jedi being wiped out? And in all of the new canon coming, do you want to see a little bit more of Vader actually wiping out Jedi?
Well, it wasn't as big of a point to me back then. Mm-hmm. I was still a little bit more casual. I still knew and loved a lot about Star Wars, but I was like, that detail wasn't huge. It was more just like, this is an execution. But when you think about how many Jedi there actually were and how many Jedi we saw on the screen get taken down, mm-hmm. that left a lot of, we didn't see everybody go down. We didn't actually see every single Jedi go down.
Right.
So, in that regard, seeing how his relationship with, as a Jedi hunter, is going in Rebels, I like how they're supplementing that. I would like to see maybe some, like, the reason he wasn't in season one as much was because that's where he was. He was out hunting Jedi, and we get to see a little bit more of that. But his seeing him go up against Kanan and Ezra and even Ahsoka is amazing television and storytelling.
Yeah.
So if we go along that route, or if we see it more in the comics, I think that's something that Darth Vader is too big of a pop culture icon to just be like, you know what? I think we've had enough Darth Vader.
Yes, yeah,
that's not Darth Vader. They brought out his dang burnt up helmet for Episode 7, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
So it's something that will always be in the back. Maybe we'll get a new game from it. Maybe we'll get new comics out of it. It's going to happen.
Yes, this has been a long-standing geek frustration for me because we're introduced to that idea in Episode 4 that Vader hunts down, helps the Emperor hunt down. And it, all of the everything that's happened, like, yes, he is. We are seeing him help the Emperor hunt down and destroy the Jedi. But I've always wanted to see Vader himself. And I feel like we keep getting these things where it's narratively sort of convenient to not actually be Vader himself spending months at a time tracking down individual Jedi and wiping them out. It's a weird thing to just really want. Like, I really want to see Darth Vader kill Jedi. Just lots. Lots. I want, like, an hour. I want an hour special of Star Wars Rebels where he's
frustrating.
Just... Yeah, I just want to see them
massacring people.
But, like, I've said this about Rebels. I like the Inquisitors. They serve a narrative function. You can't have Vader as the big bad there, like, all the time in Rebels. But, you know, there's all these little things, like the Inquisitors are a fun idea and fun characters, but they chip away at that idea of, like, it's Vader. Vader should be the one out there swinging his lightsaber and tracking him down. But I do like the idea that sort of in our new canon, plenty of Jedi did escape and just go totally underground so that there are plenty for Vader to go after. It gives me hope.
A hope that they will die.
Yes.
In a narrative sense.
Yeah. So do you think we're going to see more of the stories of Jedi who survived?
I would like to. I think that would be a good Star Wars story, even if it's just a... And this is weird because this is a term they use, but I'm not using it as that term, to see an anthology film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it's a series of short stories about maybe one who does see their end from Vader, one who does escape, but... Or it's like or is a victim of circumstance. If we do get a live action representation of Kanan and Ezra, or at least just Kanan before we see him in Rebels, or just something, I figure that's something that more, especially now that there are so many splintered parts of fandoms in general, like Tumblr exists. So there's any sort of background character becomes a main character to people. So there is that opportunity from a marketing standpoint to go, well, what kind of a Jedi hasn't there been? What kind of a group do we want to appeal to? Let's put this story out there just because all kinds of Jedi do exist. Let's show them that truly all types of Jedi do exist.
Yeah, cool. Do you think we should have seen more survive in actual on-screen Revenge of the Sith? Or are you happy with the way it was portrayed, that it was the big players were wiped out?
I do like how it was the big players that were knocked out. I would like... Was the dude with the long neck ever shown?
Yeah, we don't know what happened to Jarl Poof.
Is it Jarl Poof?
Yeah.
I love that you're this knowledge of names.
He can't hide because his neck and head
is the first thing I would aim for. But, like, I think the opposite. I would like to see, I would have liked to see more to get that issue of finality to where we're going, no, they're gone. They're all gone. But I would definitely have liked to see at the very least, all of the Jedi Council go down, and then a couple sprinkled here or there.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Anakin, or Darth Vader as he was at that point, in the Jedi Temple, because I feel like it's one of the good things that the prequels did as well is show the Jedi being sort of stiff and arrogant and not welcoming or warm to Anakin.
Yeah.
So that's a really understandable place of anger, of like, the Jedi are always telling me what to do, what I can have, what I can't have, that I'm the chosen one, but I'm still not doing a good enough job. So lots of, like, very relatable reasons for Anakin to be angry.
I think that's why they didn't show it.
maybe. It's in the book, the novelization of Revenge of the Sith, but I would have loved to see that on the screen, of just somebody, a Jedi being a jerk to Anakin.
Yeah.
And him just, yeah, taking him out.
Literally tearing into him.
That's what you're learning about me today, is I want to see Vader murder
not people. Not just child murder, because child murder isn't enough for Mr. Joseph Scrimshaw.
That was a good necessary plot point, and I'm glad that we didn't actually see it. I think that's well done, a necessary plot point. But it would also help to see how he's getting that infused with the dark side if he's already taken down a couple of adult arrogant Jedi.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Do you think that the younglings were a way to fudge hunting Jedi? Because technically, that is hunting Jedi.
Right, because a lot of the things that Obi-Wan said is In about 20 minutes, these things happened.
At a certain point of view.
Yeah, from a certain point of view. So, yeah, I mean, he did. Obviously, he did. He helped him then. I think the younglings are there is just to really put... There's no ambiguity. You know, it makes it so Obi-Wan can't defend. There's no certain point of view on killing younglings for Obi-Wan and for Padme. It's the thing that's used in the film of, like, no, for sure, it's too far. There's no way... There's no approach that you can look at where this is acceptable.
Father your kids. Just kill the bunch of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's a good idea. Don't take that out of context. In terms of just the actual death of Jedi, it seems like, in my headcanon, Jedi need to concentrate to use all their different powers, which is why they can't be, like, deflecting tons of lightsaber bolts and levitating stuff unless they're incredibly powerful. How do you think that kind of gels with Yoda's do or do not advice? Hmm. Because I think, to me, the intent of the do or do not advice is you if you believe that you can do something through the Force, that's all that you need to do to be able to do it. But it seems like there's still an element of concentration, because even Yoda concentrates on the X-Wing. It's not like he just a little flick, flick the old Muppet wrist and it comes flying out of the swamp. So how do you gel those two sort of ideas? The it can just, if you believe it can happen, you can make it happen, versus clearly they need to concentrate to juggle the powers.
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's, and we saw it more in the Clone Wars, it's here are people that are not used to having regimentalization, like being military leaders, having to focus and lead people. So that's a pull and focus. The Emperor's reach by clouding the Force could be another thing.
Oh, I think, certainly. I think that's why they don't see Order 66 coming, because they're just surrounded by misery and death and all that.
Precisely. So there are a lot of contributing factors. And most of them were, like, away on mission, too. So that's a third thing on top of just being, like, a leader figure to all of these underlings. I think that the Jedi way, and I think we've talked about it in Duel of Fates before, but it – thank you for not cueing that. But it was there's too much for them that literally was pulling them away from the Force so that they didn't even have the option to do or do not.
Yeah.
There was no trying. There was no trying.
Okay. So it also seems that when we see Jedi fall, we get to see a couple times, like we get to see Darth Maul take out Qui-Gon. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it is to blaster fire when we see it in the prequels and in Clone Wars. What do you think the Jedi could do better to say, I can't really handle it when a bunch of people are shooting at me? Do they need...
Well, it seemed like the super fast run in Phantom Menace would have done a whole lot of good.
Yes, and Luke also jumps fast in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, he does.
So they could have done that. They could have just jumped high.
Boosted agility.
Yeah.
And we all know how well people can see in those helmets. So, well, actually, the clone helmets were better than the Stormtrooper helmets. But, you just be more aware of your surroundings and... I mean, but then that goes back into concentrating. Just to use the agility part, we see people using agility when it comes to wielding a lightsaber, but not in terms of their actual motion.
So you think Jedi stand their ground too often, where they should just speed jump?
No, get out of there? Speed jump. They should have the high ground.
They should always have the high ground. Yeah. Obviously, they get surprised in Order 66. You know, it's not easy being a Jedi.
No.
But I do think, you know, it's one of the fascinating things about Jedi, about Order 66 and the Jedi in general, is that sort of narrative balance of how do we make them truly powerful, but then how do we make them also not absolutely indestructible? And then how do we gradate between Jedi too, to show this Jedi is more powerful than the other? If in like a video game type way, you could have a Jedi buffet of powers, a buffet of Jedi powers, which two would you keep at the ready to make sure that you stay alive?
Like on the hip, just to use it
without concentrating, or, you know, you can just do it. There's no try. It's just do.
That's hard. I'm just a burpee mess today.
Burpee mess is actually another name of the Jedi Council.
Jedi of the Council.
There's a Jedi in the Council named Burpee Mess.
Threw me off. I mean, enhanced agility, definitely, as I just mentioned. So super jump.
Super jump.
Jedi dash.
Super jump and Jedi dash.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would be an evasive... defensive Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Because if I'm strong enough to if I'm strong enough with a lightsaber, then the only thing that I would need is to be able to get out in a pinch.
Yeah.
Like because that way, even if I do have like my premonition thing in 100% check,
yeah.
Then if I'm not fast enough to evade that, then what's the point?
Yeah. So here's my overthinking of how to survive as a Jedi in very, very video game. So you make sure you try to always be around something that's pretty easily movable telekinetically.
Yeah.
So you can always just grab some junk and put it in front of you, which is a thing that I used to do when I played Bioshock when you could lift things. You just lift them up and let people shoot that. So always, you know, try to have something to shoot around. And then I don't know if this is a Jedi ability that can be accessed and maybe not – from a Jedi.
I'm interested. And
perhaps it is unnatural, but I wonder how many people you can mind control at a time. Like, if you didn't just do a light hand gesture, if you did a giant wave and just said, "Stop shooting me!" with a giant arm gesture.
Don't you think that's a little dark sidey, though?
I think that's a little dark sidey. Yeah, it's basically Kilgrave from Jessica Jones, the mass mind control. But I think that put some stuff in front of you and then tell everyone to stop shooting you. If you can do those things at a time, I think that would be a better way to survive.
That's fair enough.
As a Jedi. Do you think we have a warped view of how powerful all Jedi are supposed to be? Because for the most part, we're spending time with the best Jedi.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't... Like, one of my favorite Clone Wars episodes was when Kit Fisto and his Padawan went to General Grievous's... Home planet in lair.
Oh, yeah, you get trapped in his lair.
Yeah, because then you got to see the difference between a true master and a budding master, and sort of the inherent problems with thinking, oh, I have all of the power, so I can do everything.
Right.
So having more instances like that would have made the film a lot longer, but it would have made you go, oh, I know that he was having trouble with this, or I know their lightsaber work isn't as strong, or I know this, or I know that.
Yeah,
and that's what the Clone Wars does.
Yeah, there's definitely like that character had some hubris.
Yeah,
about his abilities, and we've certainly seen that. There's the Jedi who gets taken out by Jango, I believe Colman Trebor, and I like thinking that like certainly like Luke. Is amazingly powerful. Like, we don't necessarily get that context because he was our introduction to all these abilities.
Yeah.
But that he's just as powerful as Anakin, if not more. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. And then we're spending time with Anakin, who's supposed to be extremely powerful, and Obi-Wan, who's supposed to be, you know, a master of certain parts of the Force, and Yoda and Mace Windu. So I like the idea of this, like, yeah, Jango Fett can just take Colman Trebor out with two blasters because he's just not that great.
I have no idea who Colman Trebor was. Was that what it was?
It's in the scene. It's in the arena scene on Geonosis.
Yeah, okay, that one. Okay, yeah.
He's coming for Dooku, and Jango just shoots him down.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought we were still on like straight up 66. Now I don't remember. Jango was dead at that.
No, he's poor Colman Trebor is long dead. do you think there are too many bounty hunters in canon who can easily take out Jedi, or at least handle Jedi?
I don't like. I mean, Boba Fett doesn't even really do anything. He's just there, and he takes the carbonite. Like he doesn't.
Yeah.
At least from a film standpoint, he doesn't really do, like the only we see his dad, as previously mentioned.
Yeah.
Do something, but yeah, and, we never see him do it.
Cad Bane and Aurra Sing in Clone Wars can both handle them well, but you know, again, it's one of these sort of narrative things. You want characters to be super powerful, but you want them to also not just be nobody can touch them because that's boring.
No, I agree. In the Clone Wars era, because Jedi were more prevalent, I think more people had a way to defend themselves and a way to counteract any of that business.
And that is good in Clone Wars. Every bounty hunter who goes up against them kind of knows a Jedi is going to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of prepared to A, always run away, and B, I have all these other countermeasures. And I think poor Boba was trying to do that in Return of the Jedi, but it didn't work out for him.
Nope.
This is a further step away from Jedi dying to the inevitable truth that all beings must pass through the Force. Mm-hmm. What do you think life as a Force ghost is like? What do you think life, to put a button on our conversation about Jedi death, what do you think it's like to be a Force ghost?
Like, from what we see, especially from the early days in Clone Wars, where Qui-Gon was still not kind of corporeal or
he had only half mastered it.
Yeah. So until he finally makes his appearance, and then what we see in the new films where somebody can just change how they look if you given like 20 years. That was a special editions joke. But it was
I got it.
Thank you. I think it's kind of a like going further back from peeling back from Force Ghost, I think it might be like a Valhalla gimmick sort of a thing where they go, oh, hey, I'm gonna go talk on this other plane. And they using, I mean, it's just another force ability. Using the force, they can take shape in a familiar form.
Yeah.
But I don't think since they're conscious and not just like visions, mm-hmm. they have to go somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, the thing to me is like they must be constant. It seems to me like they are constantly aware.
Yeah.
And choosing when to intervene. So if you were a Force ghost, do you think you would be a positive one or a negative one? Because we only really ever hear Qui-Gon just go, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Stop it.
Anakin. And for the most part, Obi-Wan is, for the most part, very positive and supportive. He says what he can do and what he can't do, but he's mostly there to say, Luke, go over there. Do this. It's a positive thing.
I don't know what a negative Force ghost would be like. Like it like straight up just like you. I don't know if it would let me, if the force would allow me to be that negative if I was one with it.
Yeah, maybe
you
can't be that negative because I mean, there's just like Obi-Wan could have said to Luke as he's flying down the Death Star trench, he could have said, "Don't use your targeting computer." So he could have focused on the negative, and mm-hmm. instead he said, "Use the force." So yeah, maybe being one with the force makes you say like you have to say this in the positive way. Like maybe the force is like the best marriage counselor ever. Just like phrase it in a positive way.
Just calm down. He'll get the message if you say it nicely. Yeah. So I don't think the force would let me be mean.
Well, I think that's an excellent way to end our dark conversation about Order 66 and how hard it is
and
to kill a Jedi.
And how much you want
to
see Jedi just eat it.
Here's the thing. It's not that I want to see Jedi die. It's that, on a more positive note, I want to see Vader kill them.
I like how that's the positive spin.
Yeah, well, because it's about Vader.
I just want to see Vader kill people.
I want to give Vader agency. It's not that I want other... It's unfortunate that other people have to die in order for me to see Vader kill people.
Yeah.
But it's that I want Vader to be able to have fulfilled that goal. I think part of a frustration as a Star Wars fan is some things that get built up we never quite really get to see. And I think maybe in The Force Awakens and the new film, since they are a little bit more aware of fan desires, we're going to get to see some of the things we've always really wanted to see. And for me, it's just been one of those longstanding things of like, Vader's supposed to be really powerful. I'd like to see more of him just being unstoppably powerful on screen.
Here's an idea. Rogue One.
Yeah.
We get to see Vader.
I would really like
just
that.
Murdering folks in Rogue One.
Yeah, that would be swell. I would be so happy for that.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's see. I have boarded the Darth Vader murder
train?
Hype train. Choo-choo, everybody. Choo-choo. Let's move on to Mind Probe, our newer segment, where you, the very fans who are watching the show live on Popcorn Talk's YouTube channel or listening to us on iTunes, make sure to rate and subscribe and 5 stars. But this is where you can go to our Facebook page at Jedi Alliance and leave us questions to talk about and discuss at random, because there's a lot of interesting stuff in here that I pulled. Let's start with the first question from Nolan Siren. Hypothetical situation. You mysteriously obtain a Blu-ray final cut of The Force Awakens. Do you turn to the dark side and watch it right away? Or do you follow the path of the light side and wait to watch it in a theater upon its release?
I would absolutely stay on the side of the light side. I would not watch it. I would wait.
As would I.
Yeah. I would be very happy to have the physical media. This harkens back to a Star Wars memory for me. I was able to get a copy of Rogue Squadron the day before I got an actual GameCube to play it on. And
oh, wow.
I was so excited to play it. And I remember actually, you know, opening the package, looking at the instructions, how to play, and then physically looking at the disc and knowing, like, there's data on the back of this that I can't access. But I'm physically looking at it, but it's not there yet. And it would be cool to have that disc and look at, like, and know you're staring at the secrets, the truth, on that shiny backside of the disc.
It's like a holocron that you can't translate.
Exactly. Yeah, a holocron you can't open. But, yeah, I want that experience with the audience. I want things to be about the sort of the pleasure of experiencing them, not just the knowledge. I feel like we can get so knowledge obsessed in the internet age about just like who knows what, who has memorized what, and that is valuable and interesting and important, but that pleasure of discovery, and that's what I want.
And seeing that with a group.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that I caught watching Avengers at home with friends after it came out that I didn't catch in the theater. But if I didn't have that first experience on opening day of everybody cheering when the circular shot happened,
yeah.
It was like, this is everything! So I think, if anything, I would definitely wait for release, see it a couple times in theaters, and then for the minutia, go in and watch that Blu-ray.
I think I would be cheap about it. If I knew I had it at home, I would go – well, I am going to go see it on Thursday, in December 17th, and then I would immediately come home and watch it. And have it would be cool to have both experiences immediately, have that big group experience and then have that, like, I can rewind, I can pause, I can just sit and cope
with
something I love or something I don't like. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd like that. Our next question from Colin Barber. Are we going to see Korriban? I refuse to call it Moriban. And this goes back to what we were talking about, stuff from the expanded universe. What I don't know if it will expanded from Legends now being brought into canon. I don't know if we're going to see it directly yet.
Yeah, so I think most people kind of know about this. I haven't followed as much stuff that was developed in the comics about the Old Republic and before, and the very ancient history of Star Wars. So I read up a little bit on it, and yeah, so a lot of stories in Legends. So I understand why people are cranky about the name change, because a lot of time was spent there. A lot of stories were told there about this ancient Sith planet, and then it is featured in the Clone Wars, and Lucas said, I don't like Korriban. How about Moriban? And change the spelling. And I think this is one of those fascinating things. People are so hard on Lucas, and I want to give him a little bit more credit these days as he is retired.
Definitely.
And it's a very Lucas-y thing to do, that it's my sandbox, and
I'm just going to change one letter.
But yeah, exactly. And then that wasn't enough. He actually did change the spelling to Morriband.
Yeah.
And I was reading that, like, in interviews or press release when it was coming out, the people were saying, like, well, it's Korriban, but it's called Moriban now. And, you know, a ancient Sith planet, Sith deal and deception, there could be multiple names for the planet. So that idea has already been floated for those who want their headcanon to be unaffected by George Lucas.
It could be exactly. That's what I like about it. It's just multiple. You can call, like, the early rumor that Jakku was just Tatooine. It was just a different way to say it.
Yeah, that infuriated me for some reason. I still
now you know how these
mad,
folks feel.
Yeah, no, I totally understand, because if you've been a fan of that era, and there's so many stories there, and
well,
like, yeah, no,
Korriban was the starting area if you played as a Sith character in the Old Republic,
right?
MMO.
So yeah, so
that even more so was like, but. Like, now you're it could be a way, it could be taken away where it's now you're saying that all of the stuff that I did on this planet didn't mean anything because it's not the same thing and what I'm doing is pointless. So you're telling people that they wasted their time and their money.
Yeah. So, and I think these kind of things aren't going to happen anymore.
I don't think so,
Disney has its fist tightening on continuity, nothing will slip through.
Yes.
Unlike Leia's analogy in A New Hope.
Very good. Our next question.
Well,
from,
did we? I don't know if we rambled about Korriban Moriban, but I don't know if we actually answered this question.
I don't think. Well, I said I don't think we're going to see it yet. I don't think we're going to see it in maybe this 7, 8, 9, maybe 9.
Okay.
But again, if once we get a feeling of where this story is going to go after episode 7, I think we might be able to answer it a little bit more. But I don't think we'll see it. If we will see it in this new trilogy, it may not be to like episode 9.
Yeah.
Or we'll see it as a Star Wars story.
See, I think that we might see it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with the focus from Kylo Ren being very interested in Darth Vader and very interested in the history of the Sith, I feel like it's also like, here's a corner of the Star Wars story, the big Star Wars story that has been expanded, like we've talked about so much in Legends and in those video games, that it's something that fans want to see on the screen. And I feel like they're really aware in the creation of the sequels what fans want to see. So that makes me feel like, since we know that the story is at least partially about the sort of pursuit of arcane force things and dark side things, and knowing how much fans love this little, that corner of Star Wars history and we haven't really seen it on screen makes me feel like we're going to go there.
And that also makes me think that they're going to make us wait.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they're like that.
Yeah.
We're going to get a big tease about it, I think. Our next question from Niall Gillies, or Gillies, beg your pardon. Which ending music in Return of the Jedi do you prefer? The original, which is beautiful? The special edition, which is annoyingly fantastic with all the new scenes? I can't now pick my favorite.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
It's really close to me. I like Yub Nub. It is a classic traditional Star Wars song, and just the actual lyrics, Yub Nub, great. The new scene for a lot of things in Special Edition I'm not a huge fan of, but that doesn't bother me too much. I think the music is good. I think it does verge on being like a little new agey, but I still think it fits really well with the rest of the Star Wars music. It's a little hard for me to separate the song itself from what was added in those final scenes. And I do like visually what's been added in those final scenes. But if it was just a straight musical decision, I think I would lean just a little bit to good old Yub Nub.
Me too. Like, I agree with you on the visuals. It helps kind of bring everything together a little bit more. And it's not a bad cue. It's just that they replaced a fan favorite cue.
Yeah.
So that's really the one thing versus the other. But I'm a fan of both. I'm a fan of Yub Nub just a little bit more. A little bit more. And our final question from Todd Reynolds. Remember, you can go to the Jedi Alliance. I almost forgot the name of the show for a second. You can go on Jedi Alliance Facebook page. We're going to post up a new Mind Probe later this week so that we can get some more questions. But add yours, Force Awakens, Classic Trilogy, Clone Wars, Rebels, whatever you want to talk about. Please let us know. But Todd Reynolds asks, if Luke Skywalker is born at the end of Episode 3 and is 17 to 20 years old in Episode 4, why does Obi-Wan age like 40 years?
So Luke is 19. He's straight up 19. We know that. And then I think this is one of those things that like, oh, maybe you could say it doesn't work, but I really think it's a gift.
Yeah.
Because you get to make up so many reasons why Obi-Wan looks like he has just been
through. He aged so terribly.
So the desert, I don't think, is kind to people because also Lars and Bru don't age well at all. So the desert is clearly, that's why all the young kids want to get off Tatooine, not only because it's boring, because just like no amount of skin product is going to help you on Tatooine.
Yeah, I'm going to be 60 at age 35.
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of desert and depression. I mean, I think that's not a fun existence for poor Obi-Wan. He tries to be positive. I think Obi-Wan tries to be positive. But from any point of view, that's a bummer to have your entire way of life wiped out by your friend and Order 66.
Yeah.
And then mostly just hang out waiting for the Force to say, sure, start training that kid.
Start training him now.
Yeah.
I think it's something like a presidency, how much you see them age, where just everything, like you said, having to deal with everything in his life just through meditation, that aged him so much as a person, like mentally, it just started to reflect on him physically.
And we know he's a person who likes to hang out and chat. Like, by how excited he is to go to Dexter's Diner in Episode 2, we know he's the kind of guy who just wants to be able to go down the street to the pub and chat with people.
Yeah, have a spot of tea.
And he hates Mos Eisley.
Yep.
So he clearly went there thinking, like, maybe at least I can just chat with some folks. But they were all just a scum of hive and villainy.
I think that's another story that people want to hear is, like, why he hates it so much. Here's the closest respite of any sort of civilization, but he can't stand it.
Yeah, yeah. I so want an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie with Ewan McGregor, and that would be great to have a horrible incident happen at Mos Eisley where you understand why he hates it so much.
Yes.
So great Mind Probe questions, everybody. Did you have any other theories on Obi-Wan's aging besides the great presidency?
I think that's really the only thing.
Yeah.
His body is starting to catch up with his mind.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the presidency.
Yeah.
So thanks for the great questions. Like Mark said, we will be asking you for more. So now we are going to move on to our final segment of every episode, Duel of the Fates. And there's our exciting music.
Feel it.
Yes.
Feel it.
Raise the power of the Force with our arms. So last week's question, we had our Battlefront episode, so we had a sort of video game themed question.
Yep.
We asked, do you prefer the sort of stylistic simplicity of older Star Wars video games, or the complexity, visually and of all of the various choices you can make of modern games like Battlefront? And the general consensus was that everybody was kind of on the same page that all that matters is the quality of the gameplay.
Which is the best answer that I could have hoped for. I didn't want to divide people on favorite games. I know I didn't mention Knights of the Old Republic, which is widely considered the greatest Star Wars game ever made.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that everybody's just like, I just like good games.
But
Star
I think that's a really cool thing to see sort of verified by the fan response, because there was an age where graphics, where video gaming was so much about console war, mm-hmm. and if it didn't have great graphics, it was a terrible game. I remember I tried to get a friend of mine who loves James Bond to play GoldenEye about 5 or 6 years after its prime, and he just said, I can't, they look like monkeys, because the graphics were so bad. And I like that that we were moving into this world where we have so many different kind of video game options, from phones to tablets to the highest end console like Battlefront, that people are getting back to, like, no, it's the gameplay that matters, and the graphics are just a part of that.
Yeah.
A couple of specific comments that we want to give a shout-out to.
Yep.
Colin Barber said, Battlefront looks and sounds fantastic. Problem is, I don't last 2 seconds against trigger-happy, full-time gaming teenagers online. I just love that phrase. It's like the new version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Trigger-happy, full-time gaming teenagers.
If that's not a domain, I have to register it.
Yeah, that could be a franchise, whole new franchise. And I think a common problem with newer games. And then Chris Stoppenbach says, representing Gen X here, Rogue Squadron for the N64, where else could you fly an X-Wing, a Y-Wing, and actually feel like a rebel badass with Billy Idol's Rebel Yell at full volume in the dorm room, which is great. I think it gets to why we love video games. They tie to a specific point in our lives, mm-hmm. and we remember all of the joy we had in those times. This week's question, Disney appears to have dropped Episode 7, like literally the words Episode 7, from most of the marketing. Do you think they should have kept it, or is this the better marketing move?
From a wide standpoint, it's a better marketing move because you get more people in, not going, well, I haven't seen 1 through 6. Because as weird as it may sound, not everybody has seen Star Wars. The WWE is actually doing this, the same thing. They have their yearly event, WrestleMania. They're on 32.
Yeah.
So they're taking the numbers out. It's just WrestleMania every year.
Okay.
So they're doing it just to be like, no, it's fresh. Every year it's something new, it's something different. So I can see, for the same reason, by taking Episode 7 out of it, you just, Force Awakens. Let's just go see Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Because
it sounds like, I mean, it's definitely new, but it sounds like straight up new.
Yeah.
So
Star Wars The Force Awakens. Yes, it's a very active title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be upset if it's not in the scroll. I think it's going to be
in
the scroll. I don't think they would do that.
It's definitely
going to
be in
the
scroll.
But if they scrubbed it from the scroll, that would bother me. For many reasons, but I also want to make sure, as they're launching this sort of like, it's now Star Wars forever, there's going to be a movie a year, I want this trilogy to be a self-contained, these three movies tell a story. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to turn into, and we're just going to roll into Star Wars Episode 10, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's also that push-pull for me. We said some negative things about good old George. I think the great thing about George is that he is an auteur. He's just, as I've said before, a crazy old wizard. But he's a guy who just did things his way, and sometimes that's bad. But because he did things in a way that made sense to his view, that's why we got Star Wars in the first place.
Yeah.
And I am a little concerned that Disney is doing their great marketing, getting away from the pulpy feel and the just kind of weird feel that those great things in Star Wars, where you just like, I would have never thought there should just be a city hanging in the clouds. But to George Lucas, he was just like, well, of course, that makes sense. Yeah, mine's Tabanagas. Why didn't anybody else think of that? That's obvious. Like, he has that sort of just weird view of the world.
He has a weird energy and weird view.
And so many of these just kind of great ideas of Star Wars, what mm-hmm. makes it feel kind of real, because it is, because it's fractured and human in some way. I don't want the might of Disney's marketing to get in the way of some of that and some of the homage to pulpy stuff.
It's George's imagination ultimately is what set all of ours on fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I figure there's no way. There's no way that 7 is going to be gone post-release. And I just like imagining you in the theater sitting down and it just says The Force Awakens into Episode 7 going, that bothers me to no end. In 2.5 hours, I'm going to write the most annoying tweet, but I'm going to sit down and watch this movie.
Yeah, I'm preparing myself for it. I don't think it'll be gone.
No.
I think they're far too fan-savvy. And I think it is a great marketing move. I just hope that Star Wars keeps its weird. That's what I'm saying.
Are you kidding with half of the characters that are going to be in
yeah,
at least the
yeah,
first
I know.
Part?
It's full of weird creatures.
It's going to be weird.
I'm talking through my fear. The rumored original title of The Force Awakens was The Ancient Fear, and I am full of fears on my way to the dark side.
I mean, there's no better way to say it, I bet.
All right, well, on that uplifting note...
this whole episode's been about death and murder.
Yeah, but I'm really excited
happiness.
About it. I'm real positive about it, though.
Super stoked
I'm
on murder.
Super positive about Vader killing. Do you want to plug yourself, Mark?
I will when the cameras are off. But if in the meantime, you want to find me on the internet, that's Soapbox Mark on Twitter. And again, the show now has a PlayStation Network account. It is Jedi Alliance Pod. I literally made it about 5 minutes before we went live. So you should be able to add it right now. If not, I'll tweet out once all of the extra information and stuff is taken care of. But we're going to play the Battle of Jakku this week. Why not strap in, come along for the ride? Also, today, there's going to be an episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy where we're going to be covering Pokemon, the first movie. And do we have something to say about that film?
Is it a burpy mess of a movie?
It's actually, yeah, it's a pretty burpy mess. So if you want to continue seeing me being a burpy mess, follow me at Soapbox Mark. Always some fun stuff happening at the studio, and I will be your link to that if you follow me on Twitter. Joseph.
Awesome. You can find me on all the social medias as at Joseph Scrimshaw, which is my name, so it's very easy for me to remember. I've got a lot of stuff coming up. I've always got a lot of shows coming up. In particular, I have a New Year's Eve show coming up on New Year's Eve, much like my name and Twitter handle. It's easy to remember. So you can find out all about that, and I'm running a sale today, if you're listening right now today, for Cyber Monday. I am running a sale on all of my comedy albums. They're all 20% off, and you can find out about all of those things on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. Thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died, perhaps killed by Darth Vader, to bring us this information.
Order 66!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.